Thank you. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see smiling faces on this sunny morning. If you have a Bible, as you know me, take it, please. And there's a lot to discover in there today. So we are in John chapter 15. If you could switch to that, we've just heard it read by Gordo very beautifully. Thank you for that. And I'd like you to turn to John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, there's many Bibles in the back. You can take them. But don't do with them what I'm just telling you to do right now. If you have a pen, make marks in there. So let me just start at the beginning. We have had a whole series on 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And in 1 and 2 Timothy, we were focusing on godly leadership. What does a godly leader look like? And then in Titus, that went on, and not just godly leadership, but actually personal conduct. And so the natural next thing is, okay, godly conduct. How can we bear fruit? And the next 4 Sundays, we will spend looking at the idea of God's command, Jesus' command, that we bear fruit. And after that, we will have 4 Sundays looking at specific people who exemplify bearing God's fruit in their lives. So it'll be a really interesting journey. Come along and listen to that, because it's really inspiring. I find it very inspiring. And look, Jesus even himself said in Matthew 7, by their fruit you will recognize them. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree doesn't bear bad fruit, and a bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. So let's look at this fruit bringing. And before we do, let's pray again. Father, we just pray that you will speak to us this morning, to our hearts, to our minds, spread into our lives. And we ask you that whatever we think, hear, read, and then do will glorify you. Lord, we pray that you will find us fruit-bearing trees, that you will find us doing what you commanded us to do, loving each other. Amen. John chapter 15. Can you open it to that chapter, John 15? And we've just heard it read, but just read it again and just look at the text first. There's a few words that are repeated again and again and again. Just call out if you discover any of them. John chapter 15. There's a few words that, sorry?
Abide.
Abide, yeah, or remain, some translations say. Yep. Anything else?
Love.
Love, yep. There's, like in my Bible, there, around every love, I draw a little heart, so a red heart, so I can see where they all are. It's important. Any other words that repeat? Fruit, exactly. Fruit, yes. Our theme, yep. And there's a few more. There's, for example, the word branch comes quite a few times. Yeah. Commandment, love. And then Father. I can see Father there several times. Look, if I study a text and prepare, I print it out, and then I do this here. It's exactly what I'm asking you to do. Just highlight what's emphasized. Obviously, this is Jesus speaking, and if he repeats something, we assume it's important. So let's really focus on that. So there's some aspects of fruit bearing. Now, you probably have to click through those, Val, for me. I don't have even a clicker. So if you could go to the next slide, please. Let's see. At least we have a PowerPoint this Sunday. That's great. Okay, one further. That was my summary. Let's stick with this one. So the really important thing here is that Jesus says, I am what?
The vine.
My Father is? The vine dresser. And you are? The branches. Okay, just so that we are clear, right? So this is the best picture I could find. I'm sure Gordo would have had better ones.
No, that's a very good one.
Is it a good one? Okay. Okay, so it's very clear who is what. And now we'll look at aspects of fruit bearing. Could you click on, please, the next slide? So just as I read my text, and I encourage you to do the same, because I don't have more wisdom than everybody else. The Bible is made to for us to understand, be understood. And what we are doing now is studying it together. So as I read my Bible, these are a few things that I was seeing there. The first one is we are appointed to bear fruit. It's not an option. It's not an option. It's just an appointment. And also, it actually is natural. We just shared communion. The bread that we ate, the juice that we drank, will naturally go into our body and give us energy and come out in action, right? Or not, right? Is anyone able to retain the bread somewhere where it doesn't nourish you? Of course, it's a natural process. So we are going to bear fruit. Then secondly, fruit says something about the tree and about its health, right? You can see by the fruit that a tree bears, or if it doesn't bear fruit, then it's not a fruit tree, obviously. But if it's a fruit tree, then you can tell by the fruit what kind of tree it is and also how healthy it is, right? Let's just keep all this in mind, because when Jesus gives us an example, he uses everyday examples so that everybody can understand it. And in this case, he uses a vine. So the next point here, fruit has nurturing qualities, and for those who actually get it, it can also taste very sweet. And it has healing power. Has anyone read Ted Decker's Black, Red, Green series? No? It's a really good, it's a novel, but it's based, a biblically based novel. And one of the things that features big in there is the fruit. If these people are in war with dark powers and they get the fruit, just a drop of this fruit on in their mouth or on their skin will heal them and re-enable them to do God's work. Really cool series if you're interested. Okay, so it nourishes, it's yummy, it's sweet, it's healthy, that fruit. Then we also have, also just reading the text, thought, okay, fruit does need different things. For example, the power comes from the trunk, right? So the power does not come from the branches, right? It comes from the trunk. So it is nurtured by the trunk. And it needs, obviously, water. Does that remind you of something? I am the living water. It needs light. What does Jesus say? I am the light of the world. And by the way, you are the light of the world. That's scripture. That's John 8 and Matthew 5. And also, fruit needs a gardener. Someone who looks after it. The gardener looks after the health of the plant, that it gets feeding, that it has a regulated environment, that it's protected. I thought so much of you, Gordon, preparing this, because I thought you should preach this sermon and not me, because you are much, much better in that. So these are all things about fruit, what fruit brings and what fruit needs. Let's go to the next slide. So this is my very simple drawing of just clarifying. God is the vine. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. And there's this hand that's God, the gardener, looking after the vine. All clear so far? Okay. So let's look at the next slide. What is fruitfulness? There's different fruit that we actually can get. And actually what we are doing now is the gospel in a nutshell. Look at your text again. There's a really cool little book, very small, by David Wilkinson. David Wilkinson, I think? Wilkerson. If you can get hold of that, it's not expensive. It is a wonderful little booklet to zoom right in into fruit bearing. And basically, Wilkerson does that very clear. He says there's four levels in our text of fruit bearing. Look at it. So it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So obviously that's one level of fruit bearing is no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, so some fruit, he prunes that it will be even more fruitful. That's the next level, more fruitful. And then he says, remain in me and I will remain in you, and so on. And then it goes on later, I want you to bear much fruit. So there is four levels here, or you could say three, four. No fruit, a little bit of fruit, a bit more fruit, and much fruit. And it's the nature of the plant to bear fruit. Can you tip to the next slide? So this is again my very simple drawing of summarizing John chapter 15. Jesus in the middle says, go and love each other. Keep my commands, right? Love each other. That's the command. Love, and it will spread out in joy. Love, as I have loved you, love me, abide in me, like I abide in God, and he loves me, and I abide in his love. So Jesus abides in God's love. In the same way, he loves us, and we need to stay in his love. That's the summary, really, of John 15. The whole thing only works if we come to Jesus and we realize, as Peter said earlier, that we are so lost. We don't have love. We need to come to Jesus to receive love and then be able to give love, right? Okay, so let's go next to the next slide. This is, I stole that picture. Wilkinson has actually a teaching series on his little book, and you cannot take a screenshot. It will always come off gray. So I took my phone and took one picture of this here, because I think it's really impressive. Actually, it's not fully on there. That's the four baskets. No fruit, a little bit of fruit, more fruit, and the last one you can't even see has a lot of fruit. Is it on there? No, not really. It's not very cute. It's not a good shot, but it's an older DVD. But that's kind of, I want to share that into our consciousness. There are so different fruit levels, and we actually want to be bearing fruit a lot, right? Which is why we are spending four Sundays on this. So can you go to the next slide, and we'll look at what fruit means. So we'll do two words today. Last time we had three, I think. So today we'll look at fruit and abide or remain. So fruit. Fruit is doing good works, first of all. In Titus chapter 3, verse 14, can somebody find that and read it for us? That would be great. Titus, we've just studied that. Chapter 3, verse 14. Whoever has it can read it out loud. That would be great. So thank you, Susanna. Devoting themselves to doing what is good. That is fruit, bearing fruit. So we are looking at what is this fruit thing, right? Is it grapes? Does anyone here grow their own grapes on their hands and arms? No, of course not. Jesus is using a metaphor so that we understand the principle. So first of all, good works. Good works. What is that? Let's look at that a little bit more closely. And a definition thesaurus, a biblical one, says, good works is an action of a believer that pleases God. So an action of a believer that pleases God, you are empowered by God to bear fruit. And you are created to do specific works. And the Bible verses, if you wanted to look that up, actually, is Ephesians chapter, it's cut off there, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And I'll read this one, but I want you to look up a few others. But Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10 says, for example, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, and this is why I'm reading this, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Hey, didn't we just say good works? So what is this with this good works? Now remember the picture, the vine, the branches, the gardener. Who produces the fruit, the wine? Is the branch producing wine? No. It actually comes from the energy, the juice, through the trunk, through Jesus, right? We can't even do it ourselves, but we have a responsibility to let it flow through us and do it. And that's why he says in Ephesians 2, it is by grace you have been saved. Actually, I should have worn my t-shirt today, which I bought in Israel. And it has a Romans verse on there and says, grafted in. We are grafted in. Not, I am not a Jew, but I am grafted into the Jewish community because God counts me towards his people. And so are you. Isn't that amazing? He chose us. And he says back in John chapter 15, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. So these two go together. We are grafted in, I'm grafted in. I'm grafted into this vine. Now, this is a process that probably Gordo could talk a little bit more about, grafting, but I want to put you on the spot in a minute for something else. But think about the fact we are grafted in, not because we are so wonderful and do so good works, but because God chose us. And now the natural thing is Jesus's energy, Jesus's love flows through us and we produce fruit, right? So this is good works, but it's not that we are, wow, I'm a wonderful branch, haven't I? No, it is not by works, says Ephesians, so that no one can boast. I can't boast. You can't boast. None of us can boast because we are chosen by grace to be part of that vine. Okay, John 15, bear fruit is, by the way, linguistically, an active, inactive tense. I go now to bear fruit, kind of, you could translate. It's not just, okay, today I'm in the mood, let's produce some fruit, and tomorrow I'm not in the mood, really. Have you ever seen a tree? We have a wonderful lemon tree that overwhelms us. My lemon tree doesn't say one day, okay, let's produce lots of lemons, and then the next day he says, nah, not in the mood today. You ever seen a tree like that? Nah. If you are grafted in, you will bear fruit at one of the four levels. So let's see how we can get to a higher level. Can we go to the next slide, please? So just click them slowly through. The first one says, can you just click on the next arrow? Yep. So one of the ways we bear fruit is witnessing for Jesus. And there's different parts of the Bible that we can read there. Let's maybe, can somebody find out or look up Acts chapter 1, verse 8? And someone else could be looking up Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And Romans chapter 1, verse 13. And while you're finding that, I'll actually focus in on an earlier one. God, by the way, that's also very important in terms of fruit. God blesses faithfulness, not success. So if witnessing for Jesus, according to Acts chapter 1, is one of the ways we bear fruit, then it's really important to understand, yes, this is really important that we give, witness for Jesus. But some denominations sometimes say, like, how many people have you led to Christ? I actually don't know how many people I have led to Christ, and it's not my, I'm not keeping a tally chart because that's not important. The important thing is that I am witnessing. God has called me to witness for him, not to keep a tally chart. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, Peter and I, we went to the ends of the earth when we came from Europe, and we didn't even know at the time where Papua New Guinea is, and that was exactly on the other side of the world. God calls us to witness, and actually not just as missionaries. And Dorothy said rightly today, being a missionary takes so much courage. But we are all missionaries, right here, today, in our area where we are planted. Yeah. By the way, a vine is planted in one place. It doesn't wander around, just side margins, right? It's just where it is, and that's where it bears fruit. Can someone read Acts 1? Yeah, verse 8, Acts, Acts 1, verse 8.
First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world.
That's it, yeah. I should have printed it out. Okay, thank you. So the harvest actually relates, what do you think the harvest relates to when Paul talks about, I want to have a harvest among you? What do you think he's talking about?
Converts.
Of course, converts, or people who learn about Jesus. How do people learn about Jesus?
Hearing.
That means witnessing, right? They actually also, not just hearing, but actually also watching. Yeah? We are watched. If you are identifying as a member of a church, hopefully Margaret River Baptist Church, of course, but you might be in other churches, I can see some visitors. If you identify as a Christian, you will be watched. I can't tell you how often I have had a conversation in a cafe, and then someone uses a funny word and say, "Oh, oops, sorry," they say to me. Why? Because they know I'm a Christian, and they know I might be offended. So people know exactly what's right and wrong. I don't even have to say anything. I just have to be there. And by the way, that's an important thing as well. If Jesus flows through us, just being somewhere, you are bringing Jesus with you. Wherever you go, you have Jesus with you. Just go. That will be some witnessing already. Very important. So the other one was Romans 1, verse 13. That was that was what you read. And I read Acts 1, 8. So let's click the next one. So witnessing for Jesus, another sort of fruit is worshiping Jesus. And all I did, by the way, was doing a search on my Bible program for fruit. And these are the things that come up, because in Hebrews 13, verse 15, can somebody look that one up? Hebrews 13, verse 15. Really important that that is bearing fruit, that is giving him something from something back from what we've received. Has anyone found Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So here we go. That's the fruit of our lips, openly proclaiming his name. And actually it goes on, and do not forget to do good. It's okay, Mark, thank you for that, but I'm just reading on. Do not forget to do good. Here it is again, doing good. And share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. And that actually comes back to a quote in Hosea, where Hosea says, "Say to him, forgive all our sins and receive us graciously that we may offer the fruit of our lips." Now, if you know the Jewish system, they actually brought sacrifices to the altar to offer to God as a thank you. We don't have to do that anymore because we are grafted in into the vine, into the Messiah. But our sacrifice is worshiping God. And that's important. When we do the music here, this is not just going through the motions. Did you notice the lyrics that we were singing today? It was amazing, such amazing proclamations of God being praised, declarations of us trusting in him. Beautiful, beautiful music that was chosen for today. So the witnessing for Jesus, what's another one? Another fruit? Let's bring up another fruit. Wholesome conduct. We said already that people are watching us. That's a fruit of the Spirit. If we are grafted into the vine and the energy of the vine runs through us, we will hopefully have wholesome conduct. Maybe let's look up, or I'm going to read Romans 6, verse 22. That says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God," so that's taken somewhere else and grafted into the vine, "you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting." So wholesome conduct is now a consequence of God living in us. Just for a moment, think about that. You have Jesus in you. Now you go to somewhere, Woolies. You are bringing Jesus with you. I hope you don't leave him at the door, right? You have him in you. By the vine can also not say, "Oh, now my branch is going off somewhere." The branch is only alive as long as it is in the vine. You bring Jesus with you. What do you think? How does that influence how you shop? Not just what you shop, but whether there is stuff that's lying around and nobody sees or not. What is wholesome conduct? You go to the checkout, they do all your goods and actually forgot to scan something. What do you do with that one? What is wholesome conduct? What would Jesus do? That's wholesome conduct. That is bearing fruit in God's kingdom. Let's go to the next one. If you wanted to, you can write down all those scriptures and look them up. Having a winsome character, and again, that is a pointer towards God's spirit, God's character displaying in us. Anyone wants to look up, or do we know it off by heart, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, which will be on one of the Sundays. Does anyone know it off by heart? The fruit of the Spirit is peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. Here we go, Galatians 5, 22. That's fruit of the Spirit, that's winsome character. And lastly, let's go to the next click there. Wealth sharing with others is also a fruit of the Spirit, and plenty of scripture there if you want to take me up on that. But the stuff that we are given, what is flowing through Jesus, through our branches, this fruit, is not our own. Which person has ever seen a vine, or for that matter, any fruit tree, that clings to its fruit? It's unimaginable, isn't it? The fruit is there to be given away, to be enjoyed, to be used. There's a next little video here, and I don't want to offend anyone, right? But this has been all over the internet. And the important thing is, we said that Jesus says we are recognized by the fruit we bear. Would that video run?
Yes.
Okay, just hang on a sec. The fruit we bear. And what was the fruit that we are supposed to do? My command is love, right? Now, as you all know, the Kirk, Charlie Kirk Memorial has anyone watched it? No? Okay. Well, some have. There's lots of snippets on the internet. And just before this part here, when Trump speaks, the widow of Charlie Kirk has, under tears, forgiven the murderer. And the basis, she said, why she's doing that is because that's what our Savior did. That's what he did. He forgave. He loved, he forgave, and that's why I'm forgiving. And after that, a few minutes later, Trump comes on and says the following. Let's see whether the video runs. Nah. Yeah. Okay. And then you can go to the next slide. Did you hear that? I know it's hard to hear. And this is not about politics, please, in this sermon, right? This is not about was Charlie Kirk right or not wrong, which party was he on, and so on. There's none of this stuff. But Trump clearly says, Charlie Kirk said he loved these people. That's why he wanted to reach out to them. And that's where I differ with him. I hate my opponents. I don't know, but I study scriptures, and Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruit. How do we marry the two? Okay, let's go to this next slide here, and this is very important as well. John Bunyan, who is best known probably for Pilgrim's Progress, has anyone read that ever? Yes? We read it to our kids, a really good book, which is absolutely a spiritual classic. If you haven't read it, you should. So John Bunyan, one of the things he said, one of the sentences I want to focus on, he said, is, it is said that in some countries trees will grow but will bear no fruit because there is no winter there. Now that made me think. Actually, when we lived in Papua New Guinea, we've had that. When we visit in the highlands you can, there's not that much fruit in the highland. On the coast, there's bananas and mangoes and you name it. But in the highlands, nearly nothing. So some of the missionaries planted apple trees and they wouldn't bear fruit because it's too warm. There's no winter there. And they actually went through the hardship of going in autumn to strip the branches of the trees of all their leaves to give them at least a pretend winter, which actually worked. Some of them produced apples. But I think that's an important thing, the winter thing. And I looked it up on the website here about vines, and I learned that winter is a time of resting and hibernation before spring comes. So what happens during that dormant period? Yeah, okay. So there are winter periods and they are important. And I think that's an important point for our lives as well. There are times when we feel like we can't produce fruit. We feel like it. Is it true? No. We go back to the roots. We concentrate, I think it's carbohydrate or whatever, that the vine puts back into the roots so that, come spring, the whole power can come out again. And I'm sure you could explain that better, but I think it's really personal there. Let's say we've prayed for something and God doesn't answer. It's a weight. Or we've lost someone or something that was very close to us. That's winter. Or we are in front of a big decision and God hasn't made it clear to us which direction to go. And there's good psalms that we can use to pray through that. For example, one important one, and there's a really good song about it, which will come back to me. But one line in the song is out of Psalm 30, weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy will come in the morning. God doesn't leave us in winter, but winter sometimes is an important period. So it's not just about produce fruit, but be willing to do what God has planned in your life at that time. And after winter, always spring comes. We have that promise back in Genesis, right? After Noah's flood, I watched with our grandson Noah yesterday and VeggieTales. and it says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. We have that promise, and that applies to our lives as well. After winter will come spring. I'll very quickly summarize my second part because I realize I'm all over, like it's too long. But the second word that's very often, and someone said that earlier, is abide or remain in me. And if you can go to the next slide there, to remain is to stay in one place at a given time with someone or to continue. Yeah, and there's different scripture that says being settled where we are. Now, again, this is an important point. You and I are right now planted in whatever family we live in whatever neighborhood we live in whatever town we live in, unless we are all traveling, are we? No. But for the time being, we are planted in one place. That's where God wants us to bear fruit for him. And we've looked a little bit already at what fruit is. And we will during the next three Sundays. But to abide then is the key. That we abide, remain in Christ, that's the single most important aspect of being a Christian. If you take nothing else out today from this sermon, take this. Stay in Jesus. Abide in Christ. Because fruit bearing will come as a result. Let me finish with a story. I found that it's interesting. Like God always gives us little things. I found this in one of my books that I was looking up about fruit bearing. It's in German, but I've translated it. It's a little story that I would like to leave you with. A young man in a dream entered a shop. Being behind the counter, behind the counter stood an angel, and the young man in haste asked him, "What do you sell here?" And in a friendly voice, the angel said, "Anything you want." The young man started to list it all. "Then I'd like to have the end of all wars in the world, better conditions for the marginalized. I want an end to the slums in Latin America and in Kenya and in Uganda and Ghana. I want work for those who lost their jobs. I want more community and more love in the church." And the angel interrupted him very calmly and said, "Excuse me, young man, but you might have misunderstood me. We don't sell fruit, we just sell the seeds." Let's pray. Father, you are sowing seeds in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts. And we just ask you through staying in you, abiding in you, you may enable us to actually bear fruit. And this is not our own work, it is your power in us. But help us to not hold back. Help us to not just go by how we feel today, but to know that this is your purpose for us. It's your command for us. And it is summed up in your command to love. Father, as we go out today, we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will remind us to love. That by your Holy Spirit, you will remind us that we are taking you with us. And by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you will help us to take your command serious and to produce good fruit that will honor and glorify your name. Amen.